The following program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit AbsoluteLoans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell. Sponsored by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Now, in the studio, local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome to The Money Hour on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, August 29th show. I am your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell. My goal is to keep you up to date on the latest news and trends in our local economy. Keep me tuned in and I will keep you informed. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, but I'm here to answer any questions or to connect you with the guests that I have in studio. You can call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And the lineup for the show today, our own King County Assessor is back in studio. Lloyd Hara here to share recent things happening at the Assessor's office and our property taxes. Also in studio, Vincent Humphrey with Humphrey & Associates, what you need to know about real estate and divorce proceedings. Our last guest in studio actually will be a call-in because she's not here in our local market, but a great guest, Tori Toth with Tori Toth International. Why using staging before putting your home on the market for sale? Staging is about illusions. Your home is bigger, brighter, and much better. So it's important, and we'll have that conversation with Tori today. Great information and great guest in studio. For more information on any of the topics discussed today or any topics that you'd like to hear on future shows, please call the show. 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And let's go ahead and start out the show today with a little money chat.
Money. Money.
Today, I thought I would talk to you about how to take title. Now, what's the best way to hold title in real estate? The answer depends on the property owner, your property owner's personal situation and real estate goals. Is the major goal to avoid probate costs, delays when sole owner dies? Do parents want to be sure that their adult children receive the property without probate? Are there multiple unrelated owners, such as investors? And today I'm going to go through some pros and cons of five most widely used methods of holding title to real estate. Not giving title advice. You need to understand what your options are and get some professional advice, but I just want to kind of break it down here for you. Sole ownership. Your sole single. If you're single, you probably hold title in your real estate in your name alone. This is called sole ownership or ownership of servility. This ownership method is also available when married persons take title in his or her name alone. Usually the spouse is asked to sign a quitclaim deed that gives up any ownership claim. Now, sole ownership might be appropriate when a husband invests in a fixer-up properties and his wife isn't involved in the real estate investments. Sole ownership disadvantage. Include lack of tax advantages and the inclusion of probate cost and delays when the owner dies. But most single owners use this title method because they are not aware of better alternative options. Now, next is tenants in common. Two or more realty co-owners, usually not married to each other, often take title as tenants in common. Now, as a tenant in common advantage, each owner can own a specific unequal share. For an example, one might own 25% investment, the other 50% share. You can break it into more than that if you have more people owning the home. And actually, 25% share, it means the other one will have 75% share. Now, when one tenant in common dies, the share passes according to the terms that the tenant will. So for any reason, tenancy in common is especially popular in second marriages because the co-owners will Will their shares to the children with a prior marriage? This can become a disadvantage, however, if the inheriting co-owner doesn't get along with the other tenants in common. Also, tenancy in common shares are subject to probate court costs and delays. Now, further tenancy in common disadvantage, also applicable to joint tenancy, is that one tenant in common can force a sale of the property even when the other co-owner do not want to sell the property. Such a legal action is called partition lawsuit, in which the court orders the property sold by the proceeds divided among the tenants in common or joint tenants. Now, next option is joint tenancy with rider survivorship. So the most popular ways for husband and wives to hold title is joint tenancy, which is right of survivorship. All joint tenants must take title at the same time and hold the same interest. Now, when one joint tenant dies, the surviving joint tenant automatically receives title without probate cost and delays. All that is usually required is a copy of the death certificate and the survivor to record an affidavit of survivorship. Now, the deceased will have no effect on the joint tenancy property. With joint tenancy, one joint tenant can convey his or her share without the other joint, without the tenant's approval, thus ending the joint convey his or her share, creating a joint tenancies in common. Now, I mentioned earlier, a joint tenant can bring a partition lawsuit to force a sale of the property in the other owners if they don't want to sell the property. Next, I want to break down community property. Now, in community property, husband and wives who own real estate in Washington and many other states take community property. Each spouse owns 50% of the property, and the shares can be passed by will to either surviving spouse for someone else, such as a child. A major tax advantage for community property assets, will to the surviving spouse, is a new stepped-up base to market value on the date of the death for 100% of the property's market value. So in 1987, the IRS extended this community property step-up market value basis to husband and wives holding joint tenancy titles in community property states. However, requiring spouses are acknowledged to put in writing each other before the other spouse dies that the joint tenancy property is also community property. Last is living trust. Probably the best method, without giving advice, of holding title to homes and other major assets is the revocable living trust to avoid probates and costs and delays. Now, the only disadvantage are the legal fees up to $1,000 depending on the property and the living trust. Until the death or the disability of the trust creator, the home and the realty bank accounts and stocks and bonds can be managed and bought and sold as before. Now, since the living trust is revocable, it can amend the circumstances changes. However, if a trustor becomes independent and unable to manage affairs, the alternative trustee, such as a spouse or an adult child, take over the management of the trust assets. When the trust dies, the living trust assets are disputable according to the trust terms. Now, privacy is a major living trust advantage. Unlike a will, which becomes part of the public probate file of the deceased, the living trust term remains private. A lot of information to go through in a few minute money chat, but it's great information. And it's important to understand when you're purchasing real estate that you've got different options and how you want to take title. And you just want to make sure that you understand what those options are and you choose the best way to take title for you and your family. Coming up next on the Money Hour, do you own real estate property in King County? And how are your property taxes assessed? Lloyd Haar, King County Assessor, right here on 1150 AM, KKNW, after this short break.
The University of Washington Parent-Child Study is looking for parents and their 8 to 11-year-old children to participate in a 3-hour research study examining how children learn to distinguish between what is safe and what is not safe. They're especially interested in how those processes differ in children of parents with and without post-traumatic stress disorder. Parents are compensated with up to $60, and all children are given a UW Child Scientist T-shirt. In addition, all parents receive a thorough psychiatric evaluation. For more information, please call Alyssa at 206-685-9043. Or visit online parentchildstudy.com. That's 206-685-9043 or parentchildstudy.com.
The 1,200,000 women and men of Rotary have accomplished extraordinary things. They've taught millions of people to read, worked toward world peace, and have nearly eradicated a crippling childhood disease from the face of the planet. But each of those 1,200,000 women and men know they could accomplish so much more if only they were 1,200,000 and one. Find out what an impact one person can make. Learn about Rotary at Rotary.org.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, August 29th show. I'm committed to providing you knowledge needed to be successful in every area regarding your finances. Knowledge is power, and that's what you'll receive by listening to my show. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but you can always call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. Any questions that you have, if you want to connect with the guests that I have in studio today, again, reach out to us. Right now in studio, back by popular demand, is Lloyd Hurra, King County Assessor. Lloyd, thank you so much for coming back in studio. It's always a pleasure to have a chat with you.
Tina, it's always great to be here.
And a little background about our assessor. King County Assessor's Office, Lloyd, its respected veteran public official, was reelected as King County Assessor on November 2011. Lloyd is a tireless advocate for taxpayers and champions in openness and transparency for government agencies. He most recently served as Seattle Port Commissioner, bringing new levels of accountability and leadership to our port. Lloyd was King County's youngest auditor and award-winning and national recognized Seattle City Treasurer and Public Financing Expert, a Seattle native, and his distinguished record of public service spans more than 40 years. So a good person to have in the seat over at the assessor's office. So Lloyd, let's go ahead and start out what's happening with at the assessor's office during this time of the year, summer, into the fall.
Tina, we're very busy right now. We're issuing around 700,000 property valuation notices throughout King County. And we've already sent out around 21 of our areas out of the 86. And this year, we're really excited that we are seeing our ability to post these online. We have a new application called LocalScape and are under My Real Value. Yeah, you can go to www.kingcounty.gov/assessor. And at this time, I'm getting calls, and some people are very happy with their new values because
yes,
they say, finally, we're out from underwater.
Yes.
So it's a good thing to see wealth coming back to the community. When I first took office and after the 2009 election, we saw the worst recession since the Great Depression, and people lost literally millions of dollars, throughout. And we're starting to see that come back. We're seeing property values coming back to pre-recession levels, which is a good thing. And I think one of the elements that's important to know is that even though we value the property, in dealing with the property tax itself, the assessor does not determine the property tax. That is done by your local government.
Got it.
And also by special levies that voters approve.
Yes.
So those are the two key elements.
So, Lloyd, just as a reminder to listeners, if this is the first time people also have heard you, can you give an idea of where the assessment's taking place as far as time? Because a lot of people don't understand what the value that you're doing time-wise.
Yes. Our valuation year is January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So in preparation for the 2016 tax bill, January 1st, 2015 is the sales date that we use, or the value date.
Yes.
So we go look at values for 2014, 2013, and 2012, and we run them through a computer-assisted program that will determine the value on that date, January 1st, 2015.
Got it. So that means it's important to know because it's not the current market value right now, but it could be, you know, 12 months or around that time frame ago. Now, what if there's somebody that contests the valuation that they're receiving on their property, Lloyd? What can they do?
Well, first and foremost, we ask them to go to our website, as I mentioned earlier, kingcounty.gov/assessor, and you can look up either LocalScape or eSales. If you still can't find the information that you need, please call our office, and that's very important. And then finally, if that information does not satisfy you, then you can go to an online application called eAppeals or call directly the Board of Equalization, which is a separate organization from the assessor's office, and they will assist you if you think your value needs to be adjusted, or gone before the Board of Appeals.
Got it.
It may or may not happen, but on the other hand, at least that's your right to appeal.
Got it. Now, Lloyd, there's been a new Exemer exemption income limit passed. Can you share that information with my listeners?
Yes. During late session, in this 2015 session, Senate Bill 5186 was passed, and it increased the amount of income that a senior or a disabled person could have their income adjusted. It went from $35,000 up to $40,000.
Okay.
And this will begin to take care of some of those that lost out because of increases in Social Security or other income that came to them. So this is very important. Mm-hmm. This is very important for King County residents.
Yes.
Since the cost of living here is much higher than in other parts of the state.
And Lloyd, can you also remind on if somebody doesn't realize that they actually have a senior exemption, how far can they go back to take advantage of that before it's been lost?
They may go back 3 years. So the requirements are, one, you have to be 62 years of age or older, a primary property tax holder, and that is your primary resident, all right? And you have this income limitation. So say you're 66 and you now discovered this, then we could draw you back for 3 years.
Got it.
Okay, and you can get a rebate back for that portion of, a portion of your tax, not all of it, but a portion.
Great information. Now, probably a lot of people listening don't realize how much that you guys go out from the assessor's office and actually do presentations and talk about different things that are happening. So how can people get information about that? What if they want to have that booked at their office? Can you share a little bit about that?
Certainly. I personally make over 200 presentations out in the community.
And, unbelievable.
And if your organization, say your HOA or your community organization or a neighborhood organization would like someone to come, myself or someone from the office, to make a presentation so they better understand their values and also what is happening in their community, yes, we'd love to see them. We also have a Facebook and a Twitter account, and they can contact it in that way also.
Perfect. Now, Washington State operates under a revenue-based property tax system. Can you talk about how property taxes are calculated in Washington State, Lloyd?
Yes, we are one of the few states that does on a revenue basis, which means it's budget-based. It's determined by the budgets or the adopted by the communities and also by special levies. There are four factors that impact it. Number one, the value of your property. Number two, the surrounding value of your property. Number three, the budgets that are adopted by your community. Could be the city of Kirkland, Bellevue, et cetera, and the various districts that are there. And fourthly, and probably the largest portion of your property tax, in many cases, could be the voter-approved levy. I have districts where voters have, in terms of the calculations, over 50% of their property tax are voter-approved.
So you got to really pay attention to those levies to make sure that you understand what you're voting for, because it is going to affect your property taxes. So if a listener plans on doing some improvements on their home, Lloyd, is there an exception from taxes based on the value of exemption based on the value of improvements?
You can get up to 3 years a discount on the added improvement of your remodel. First and foremost, you need to get a building permit. Secondly, you come to our office and file that, in fact, you are making an addition or a remodel.
Okay.
Okay. Then you can get up to 30% of the value of the your home, 30% or the value that you've added. And so that will provide you with some relief of the added value that you're, as new construction as part of the remodel. Hopefully so, that's clear to your audience.
I think that's huge. Now, what are some things that you see people making errors on when it comes to taxes that you would give advice to watch out for? Is it when the biggest one, is it when you're making improvements that not reporting those or?
Well, I think it's important that you do report and you properly get your home properly permitted, because this allows for inspections to take place by the city and that everything is up to code.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen cases where unintended consequences, like electrical fire or something, on uncoded or unpermitted work being done, and that could devoid your insurance.
Yes.
So that's kind of very important, I think, for homeowners to fully understand that they've had their work up to code and up to standard.
And it's an issue as well in my arena when it comes to financing. I've had a lot of issues with some older homes in Seattle that have done a lot of work and didn't have permits for whatever reason. A lot on additions to where they actually have like a mother-in-law unit that they've added. And if you can't come up with the permits, you've got to rip things out of the home, rip out the sink, and put it back into a condition that it's not considered that. Or you're having issues getting, for that buyer that's coming in purchasing it, getting financing. So there's a lot of things that can happen there. Now, we have one of the nation's largest inventory. You have one of the nation's largest inventory of property data. Can you share that?
Yes. I think we were probably one of the most robust, transparent websites in the country. And people are just absolutely amazed at the amount of information that we have there. We've just introduced what we call LocalScape, and this begins to integrate not only our property information, but integrates education information, census data, all sorts of census data, other sales data, all on one platform. And so instead of looking at 86 separate PDF reports or separate reports, it's all on one platform and you can get it. And you can even draw boundaries as to what you want to see. So we've been very excited that we introduced that this last March, and it's been a major hit. And we'd love to get out to the community and show more people how it works.
Well, it's been exciting because I think I've talked with you probably for 5 years now, having you a guest on my radio show. And there's been so much advancement in technology and what you guys have done. So it's really exciting to see that. 1 minute, until we take us to break. But I want to ask you, in I might not have numbers in front of you, but just an idea in where we're comparing and our value here in King County to other markets, Lloyd.
Well, last year, King County was the second fastest growing urban county in the country. And as a consequence, with new jobs and people coming here, that impacts the real estate market. That's a good thing for realtors especially.
And mortgage people.
And mortgage people, absolutely. You may not like all the traffic that's here, but when traffic is bad as it is, we have a robust economy.
Yes.
And so from that aspect of, that's the positive thing. And clearly, we've seen market values go up tremendously. And we continue to see that, so which is a good thing. And like I said earlier, finally, we have a lot of folks that bought houses, say, 2005, 6, and 7, and finally are out from underwater and say, hey, I have a positive balance sheet on my loan.
It is a beautiful thing to see, without a doubt. Lloyd, thank you so much again for coming in studio. Always a pleasure, and just appreciate everything that you're doing over at the assessor's office.
Well, thank you, and thank you to your listeners, and we'd love to hear back from them.
Coming up next in the Money Hour, for the vast majority of people, their most valuable asset is their family residence. What happens to real estate owned in an event of a divorce? Well, Vince Humphrey with Humphrey & Associates is going to talk to us about that right here at 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking. I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Getting support from friends online kept me on track.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
Instead of smoking after I ate, I'd get up and take a walk.
I missed having a cigarette in my hand, so I'd hold a pen or a straw, anything.
Until I knew I wouldn't give in to temptation, I spent more time with my friends who didn't smoke.
I went to places that were smoke-free.
I didn't stay quit the very first time I tried.
I kept on trying, and I learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
I quit.
I quit.
I quit.
We did it, so can you.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, August 29th show. I provide you the news on everything regarding your money, fresh information on the market trends and conditions in our local economy. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast. To talk to any of the guests that I have in studio, you can call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. In studio right now, Vincent Humphrey with Humphrey & Associates. Vincent, excited to have you back in studio again. Thank you.
Glad to be here.
And a little background about Vincent. Vincent Humphrey is an attorney at Humphrey & Associates, PLLC, which focuses on family law, real estate, and civil litigation. His passion is in bringing justice and clarity for the everyday working man and woman. Vincent was just awarded Outstanding Young Lawyer of the Year by Washington State Bar Association for 2015. Congratulations, by the way. That is awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
And congratulations, really in order when you hear this. He's the only one out of 8,000 possible attorneys to gain this honor. And so that's why you're sitting here in studio, Vincent. I'm just saying.
It is truly my honor to be here
awesome.
Again. I'm excited.
Now, Vincent also holds a Juris Doctorate degree from University of Idaho College of Law and Bachelor of Science and Political Science for University of Washington. He has over 15 years of mediation and negotiation training, which he has gained through intensive classes on the job situations. Vincent has advised companies and overseen transactions over $100 million. Furthermore, his skill and set all allow him to counsel many companies ranging from tech companies to law firms. Now, I want to say I'm excited about the topic, but you know, sometimes when I bring you in studio, Vincent, the topic isn't always exciting, but it's information that we have to know. And I hope that none of my listeners are going through a divorce. But if you are, that's really what the show is about. It's bringing in important information that we need to know in regards to everything when it has to do with our money. And, fortunately for you, you get to help people through this process. Unfortunate for listeners if they're, you know, if they're going through this. But having the right advice and knowing what to do is going to make it a lot easier process for you. Wouldn't you agree, Vincent?
I would agree. And we'll just say that this might be for a friend, right? Maybe not one of the listeners. Maybe it's for a friend or somebody you know.
I really like that. So be a great friend and share this information if you have anybody that you know going through a possible divorce. Great way to spin that, Vincent. So how is it that you decide on who gets the house during a divorce?
That's a great question. And, you know, there's, I guess my legal disclaimer is I'm going to be talking about all sorts of things, but obviously you want to talk to a trusted advisor, i.e. an attorney or somebody that you can go into and go into more in depth. But to tackle that question, there are so many factors. Mm-hmm. So it's not an easy answer, but what many people are aware of is that, yes, Washington State is community property. And so that's kind of no knowledge that it's 50-50. But what a lot of people don't realize is that the topic of who gets the house has a lot of variables. For instance, some of the big considerations that I'm seeing that the courts are looking at is maintaining the status quo. So just because you might be paying the mortgage, mm-hmm. you still might be in the divorce proceeding. You might have to exit that house due to kind of all of the other factors that are going on. The court wants to maintain the status quo and doesn't want either party out in the cold, whereas that might be what you were looking for. The court is just not going to take that position. So the status quo, what's in the best interest of the children, and also the financial capacity of both parties. If one side earns more and makes the money and the other takes care of the house, well, you know, that might be your status quo.
And makes sense.
Again, that thought, whereas you might be upset, the court's just not going to have somebody out on the street.
Yeah. And it makes sense. So what about the evaluation or the value of the property? How is that determined, Vincent?
Also, another great question, because the courts, a lot of times people think that maybe the attorney knows, or the judicial officer, they know how much this house is worth. Or maybe if I pull it up on my phone or Google search or Zillow. Which I see a ton of, where people have gone in with either nothing and said, you know, Your Honor, or to the attorney, I think the house is worth X. And then the other side says, well, I think that house is worth 5X.
Yes.
And then you're saying, well, what is it? Is it X? Is it 5X? I've recently had a situation where I saw somebody and they didn't, both sides didn't tell the court either way what the house was worth. They just said X. Well, another side said 5X. And the court said, I don't know. We just shoot to the middle, which was really unfortunate.
Really?
Yeah.
So what do you do to avoid that?
What you can do to avoid that is obviously have good representation. Also, there are appraisers. There are great real estate teams that I know of. For instance, there's a James Real Estate Group that I've worked with that actually take into consideration the community property. So what have you gained together? But also that separate money. So maybe you had an inheritance and you added a new granite countertop or the floorboards. I know later on in the show we're going to be hearing about staging.
Yes.
So maybe there's certain furniture or pieces that were bought with whole separate money. That all affects value.
Wow.
As Lloyd was saying earlier, with as you're making improvements, well, what money went into that improvement? If it was from a will or a certain inheritance, that's actually categorized different. So all that being said, you need somebody that understands all of those variables, because a lot of times the quick answer is, well, just get it appraised, or just go to a real estate broker. They'll know, but most don't, which is where this matters, because we're talking about potentially tens of thousands of dollars left on the table because you didn't take the time.
So like the real estate property, location, 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 in this situation, documentation, documentation, documentation.
Yeah, that too.
So
yeah.
Make sure that you have everything lined up and prepared. Now, just as Lloyd mentioned, because we are seeing our property values come back, which is really awesome, but there still are people out there that might be upside down. What they owe in the property is more than what the value is. What happens there?
Yeah, and there's a couple of things from a legal standpoint. You know, some people say, well, I want the house, and this might be a situation where, no, you get to have the house.
I don't want this house.
At all.
I told you we shouldn't have taken out that second mortgage.
And you know, with here, there's some other considerations you can think of. You know, some of those buzzwords, deed in lieu, a short sale, rent it possibly.
Okay.
Maybe hold it. Maybe right now is not the right time to go through the divorce.
Yes.
Maybe.
And the rent is a really good idea, because rents are going up so quickly, and
absolutely,
finding out, you know, that might take care of that mortgage payment.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Or figuring out, well, maybe we can go through the divorce proceedings and figure out the asset side in a different form. Let's get divorced from each other. Let's get out of this. But as it relates to the house, let's either take time on that, or let's figure this out later. So really segmenting those issues. And
sure.
So I would say, again, that a good attorney is looking at, what are your needs? Is it really that it's this person, or the situation has since changed, and maybe it's not the asset? But if it is the asset, looking at, well, what are the tax ramifications? A lot of times, you know, going through a divorce, there's a ton on your mind, and you're thinking, okay, maybe I just need out. But down the road, the tax implications, those come up. And so being able to kind of have a roadmap all the way through the process to see, how is this going to affect me afterwards? Because again, the courts, unless you let them know, they're not going to do that homework for you. That's
exactly.
You.
And so what about the typical timeline for divorce? When somebody picks up the phone and connects with you and hires you for their counsel until the divorce is actually completed, what does that time frame usually look like? I know it can be all over the board, right?
Right. You know, the standard answer is the quickest you can do it is 90 days.
Yep.
90 days,
okay.
You know, and that's kind of a known thing that, all right, well, the quickest I can get in and out is 90 days. And so from the time you file, the court has this kind of cooling off period.
Make sure that you really want to go through with it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because there are times, I have to say, in 20 years of marriage that, you know, sometimes it's like, you know what? He's not being very nice today. Okay. Next day, I'm over it. It's all good.
Well, congratulations on 20 years.
Sorry, Dave. Sorry, but Barb, my mother-in-law, which I love. She listens to the show every weekend.
Got it. Well, hey there, Barb. Glad that we're in 20 years.
Yes.
And so, you know, again, 90 days being, you know, the quickest. But, you know, in my experience, what I'm seeing is people will dig their heels in for either the children
yes.
or the house.
Yes.
Some sort of asset or the children. Absent those, a lot of times, you know, we can figure it out. But when you start bringing in assets or mm-hmm. Retirement accounts or accounts overseas that you may or may not have heard about, it changes it up a little bit. So I would say that, again, you know, there's all sorts of things that can happen, from temporary orders to maintenance slash alimony yeah. that comes up.
Yeah.
All of these things kind of push that timeline out. So it kind of comes down to the complexity. Do you guys own a business together? Right.
Yes.
So all of those start to add those layers. And depending on how much thought that you've put into going into this, it informs the timeline. And sometimes you're just mad. Let's just call
yes.
it what it is. You're just mad.
Yep,
and you say, you know, I don't care how long it takes. I'm getting back at him or her, and I want them to feel it.
Yeah.
That obviously kind of drags the process out a little bit.
Exactly. Well, I'm sure that you definitely, your counsel can help smooth it through that process. I know as an attorney, sometimes there's some counseling that's in there to help through the process and really make it best for everybody to get this decided on and resolved. Now, what about the property? When can it be sold, Vincent?
Absolutely. The property itself, if the parties agree, if both sides say, you know what, we want to sell this, if you agree, that process is streamlined. You can go into a court, you know, mm-hmm. what's called ex parte, which is just a fancy word to say you can go in and immediately see a judge. And if you guys both agree, uh-huh. you can say, hey, here's what we want to have happen with the property, and we want to move forward. So this is great, depending on how the situation is. But if both sides say, you know what, we both want out of this ASAP, or maybe
yep.
there's a lot of equity, as Lloyd was saying earlier,
uh-huh.
those values are going up. And
take
maybe
advantage
the,
of it.
Yeah, maybe
mm-hmm.
the kids are out of the house now and that's what you're looking to do, or maybe a relocation from one side. So if you guys both agree, you can get in and move that along. And so that's on one side. On the other side, if sides don't agree, I would say that's a good time to talk to your attorney, because then that comes into strategy. Is it really worth it? Do
sure.
you want it? So
yeah. And then what about a temporary?
Temporary. If in the meantime, again, working with a good attorney or mm-hmm. broker, there is ways to gain access to the house. Maybe one
okay.
side is going to have to move out. There's been situations where one spouse lives upstairs, the other lives downstairs, and you guys are kind of...
Not the war of the roses.
Right, just trying to ride this thing out. So
yeah.
there are things you can do. I wish I had more time because I could go into more detail,
yes.
but time doesn't allow. But again, there are things temporarily to get you through that situation.
And that, you know, the biggest advice that I can give to you is listening as a listener today is really in any arena when you need some assistance, which everything regarding money, you need to get expert advice before you make any decisions.
Yes.
Pick up the phone. What's the best way to reach you, Vincent,
sure,
by phone?
Absolutely.
Or by web?
You can email us. Our email address is info@halegalteam, all one word, halegalteam.com, info@. And our office number is 206-946-8580.
Perfect. So definitely give Vincent a call. And just as our wrap up here for my last 60 seconds with you, what do you want to leave the listeners with?
I would say that if anything, get advice. Get good advice. I have seen so many people come to me after trying and not getting the results they wanted, or
yes.
not understanding that they left literally thousands of dollars on the table. And all it would have taken was a phone call or just a sit down to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Seek advice.
Thank you so much. And if you didn't get Vincent information, you definitely have the show information. Call the show at 1-855-411-50. Again, it's 1-855-411-50 or online at themoneyhour.com. I will directly connect you with Vincent and their company. And on the website, you can get to any of our guests. All their contact information is there. So, Vincent, thank you so much for coming into studio. It's a pleasure to have you here. And thank you for all that you're doing for the legal arena, where people need some advice and some really good help.
Tina, all I can say is thank you again for being here. For those of you that are listening, she's looking gorgeous. She's got a great smile on. Had a wonderful time. Thank you again.
Thank you, of course. Coming up next in the Money Hour, why staging your home is so important before you put it on the market. Do you want to get top dollar or do you just want to sell the house? Tori Toth with Tori Toth International coming up next right here on 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.
Would it be crazy if you just stopped everything, packed your bags and left for a week, a month, a year? What if you left for 2 years? Would people think you'd lost your mind? What if you were going far away to help in a village on the edge of the Gobi Desert? A village crowded with Buddhist temples, not skyscrapers. A place where there isn't a word for recluse, but 1,000 words for community. Would it be crazy to go 5,000 miles from home? To spend time with people the rest of the world only reads about? To build libraries and fill them with stories? Prepare a meal with food you helped grow? To teach children and learn a thing or two about yourself? Would that be crazy? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, August 29th show, bringing in expert advice and inside knowledge on today's events and our local economy and how it can affect your money. If you're listening to my show at a different time or day, you are listening to rebroadcast. You can call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com to discuss anything regarding money, any topics, suggestions you have for a future show, or most important, to talk with the guests that I have in studio today. And right now, not personally in studio because Tori is out of our market, but she's just going to be an awesome guest. I'm excited to have a conversation with her over the phone. Tori Toth with Tori Toth International. Tori, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Tina.
And a little background about Tori. Tori is an award winner stager who's owned in New York City based home staging company, Stylish Stagers Incorporated, in 2009. She has prepared hundreds of homes to sell up to 78% faster on the market. She creates weekly how to home staging videos on YouTube that's been watched nearly 350,000 times. Tori is a bestseller author of Feel at Home, Home Staging Secrets for Quick and Easy Sell, a new book released earlier this month, and has created a new online video course called The Stage to Sell Strategy to help sellers prepare their homes for sale. And just really excited about the conversation, Tori, because I say in my own market, and I'm sure in a lot of the markets throughout the country, is just, you know, there's a lot of multiple offers happening right now, but the question is do you want to get top dollar for your property or do you want to just sell your property? And that's where home staging really comes in. So can we talk about the benefits, the benefits of staging with my listeners, Tori?
Sure. And that's definitely one of the benefits. But there's actually four benefits to home staging. The first really is that you're creating move-in ready homes. So buyers love homes that they could just move right into because who wants to spend extra cash to fix things up? At least if they're able to move right in, you know, it's definitely considered highly on the wish list for buyers.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is you're going to be standing out from the competition, you know, other homes in your area may not necessarily be focused on preparing their home for sale and making it look like top dollar. Obviously, it's easier to market if you have a home that looks amazing and almost like a model home, so you can shoot those photographs and get it on the internet and get people into the door, because obviously, you know, most buyers these days are looking online before they even get to your door. So that definitely helps with that. And also it does increase offers and potentially the sales price too. Pretty home sell.
Definitely. And they're more warm and fuzzy. People get a better feeling going in when it has a professional staging. Now, what encouraged and prompted you, and what was your vision behind writing your book?
So my book, I decided to write it because I kept on coming across home sellers that just didn't understand the concept. And I like teaching it and getting people to understand why saving is important and how to utilize it. So I decided to write a book so I can give it out to people so they can basically learn how to do it themselves.
And the concept behind the book, Tori?
So the concept behind the book is really I want to help sellers prepare their own homes for sale. And I have 10 easy home staging steps where they can do this in. I can share this with you if you'd like.
You know what? I want to encourage them to pick up the phone and give you a call or go online. How do they order your book, Tori?
So they can go to feelathomebook.com and get some more information about the book and order it there at their favorite retailers. We're, you know, on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and a bunch of other sites.
Perfect. And what about the cost of staging? I know that's got to vary depending on the size of the home and what they're looking at doing, but what would be a traditional cost to have an entire home staged?
So, yeah, I mean, there is no set cost. I mean, you can get a home stager to come into your home for just a few hundred dollars and kind of go through a consultation. They can tell you their advice on the home. If you wanted to go, if you lived in the home while you were trying to sell it, home staging would cost a couple thousand dollars. Mm-hmm. But if you had a vacant space, obviously that's going to cost a little bit more because you're going to need to rent furniture and accessories. So that would be, you know, a couple more $1,000. Just to give you an example, because the Real Estate Staging Association recently put out a pricing list by state. So, I mean, you guys are in Washington.
Uh-huh.
So a welcome talk consultation is about $250. But if you had a vacant staging done to your home, it could be anywhere between $2,500 and $3,400. So the price really does vary and just depends on the needs of the home and the budget of the seller.
So let's talk about your course and how your course helps home sellers.
Right. So my online home staging course has over 40 videos and worksheets to really help home sellers go through each step that I've written in the book and apply it to their home. And I'm there with them every step of the way, kind of holding their hand and making sure that they're doing the work and holding them accountable. So they can really see the transformation once they finish with this course.
That sounds really, it sounds exciting. It sounds like a fun process to go through and just getting your home in the best shape possible. Now, what would be some of the biggest mistakes that home sellers make when they're actually preparing their home to put on the market and sell?
I think a lot of times, because home sellers are so used to their homes, you know, it's their private spaces, they see it, you know, on a daily basis. Sometimes they just are there all the time. And I feel like they wear blinders. So mm-hmm. They don't really see the actual problems that are going on inside their home. You know, they don't see the clutter building up in the corner or the dishes really piling up in the sink. So I think that's one of the biggest mistakes home sellers make is that they don't criticize their home as a buyer would. And they
sure.
think everything is just going to sell and be perfect and it's going to go on and off the market, and they just sell their home as is.
And what about, I know there's a lot of tips that you have, Tori, in helping people with the staging of their home, but if you could just, you know, maybe give your top three staging tips, what would those be?
I think the first one for sure is just decluttering your home. You'd be surprised at how much more space you have just by taking out, I would say, 20 to 30% of the stuff you already have in your home. You want to keep the bare minimum, the basics, and you really want to have clean, simple spaces so buyers can see all the potential that the home actually has because they're mm-hmm. buying square footage. They're not buying your stuff. Obviously, who doesn't love a clean space? Mm-hmm. Buyers want, you know, they're buying a new home. So new relates to clean, you know, brand new.
Sure.
Just take the time and try and clean and maintain your home as much as possible on the market. And then I would say the third tip is make sure that you have your furniture in a good arrangement, that you have ample space for buyers to walk through your home and not trip over furniture or have too much furniture in each room. less is more in this case. So you just want to make sure that you have a great furniture arrangement in each room so buyers can see what the room is for, mm-hmm. but not necessarily see furniture, you know, on every corner and every wall in that room.
Makes total sense. You always want the home to look bigger, never to look smaller. Now, what about for sellers to do their own staging? I know you talked earlier about, you know, there can be some emotional connection to the home and how things are set up. How important is it to have somebody from the outside, number one, also somebody that's a professional come in and stage versus a seller doing it themselves?
I think home sellers these days are very kind of do-it-yourself and hands-on. So if you don't have an emotional attachment to your home, and that's really a big part of it, because if you're emotionally connected, you're just not going to be able to go through the process mm-hmm. easily if you sell your home as a product. But home sellers can certainly stage themselves. They can get tools like my book or go through the course, which is a fraction of the cost of actually getting a home stager into your home, mm-hmm. To really just take all of those tips and apply it to their space.
So what is the cost for your course, Tori?
So the cost of my course is $497. So it's like a glamorized consultation in many, you know, in many states. Mm-hmm. States, just a consultation, you know, costs $200 in most states. So it's me teaching you how to do it, and then you're getting me online basically any time.
Okay.
So it's a combination of a consultation and having me physically in your home kind of doing your stuff.
Got it. Okay. Now, we talk about emotionally being connected to your home as the seller. Ideally, you want to have the buyers that are coming in, them for them to get an emotional connection to the home. So what are some tips there that you're really helping to bring that buyer in and to get them emotionally connected to that house so ultimately they want to buy and they're willing to come in with a great dollar amount?
Yeah. So one of the first things you do, and this happens when you're decluttering too, is you also want to depersonalize your home. So take down just the headshots of your family, anything that has names on it, any of those little hobbies and tchotchkes that you like to collect, and make it more generalized so any buyer who walks in can think, oh, you know, this is my home. Once you've generalized and made everything as generic as possible, you do want to bring in some key, I would say, home decor pieces mm-hmm. to try and really connect the buyer to your home. So show them where they can meet up, cuddle up and read a good book, or go have a cup of coffee, play a game with their kids. It's really creating these emotional connection points with home accessories that's going to make your home stand out among the crowd.
And I would think, too, maybe cooking some of those chocolate chip cookies right before people come in and look at the home over the weekend might be a good thing to do. Do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's true, too. I mean, if you're not a cook, you can always light a candle, maybe just uh-huh. have some waters out and something. You want to try and make these buyers end up in your kitchen because
yep.
that's, first of all, the heart of the home, and it's where they can sit down and really be comfortable. And they're going to have lots of conversations in that area anyway. So
yes.
if you see them lingering around your kitchen by eating a cookie or drinking some water or something, that's definitely a good sign.
Yes. So we've got just a couple minutes here, and then I've got to wrap up the show, Tori. But what about curb appeal? What are a couple tips that you can give in really getting those buyers emotionally connected before they even walk into the home?
Yes, curb appeal is a must. I think you definitely have to, if you have grass or anything like that, or bushes, you just want to trim everything back. Make sure that you have a well-kept lawn. Make sure you have a great mailbox and all the hardware. So your house numbers, lighting, your doors painted as well, you know, so it has a nice fresh appeal because buyers are going to be sitting there looking at what's going on right in front of your doorstep as mm-hmm. the real estate agent is waiting to let them in.
Yes.
That is where they're going to make their first impression and what they plan on seeing inside the home.
Makes total sense.
Yeah.
So, Tori, one more time before I wrap up the show for my listeners, give them information on how to get your book and how to get your course if they want to be able to do some home staging for their house on their own and save some money that way.
sure. So they could just go to my website, toritoast.com, and if they go to the product section, they can get more information about the course and the book.
Perfect. And you can always, as a regular listener, you've got the show number 1-855-411-50. Again, 1-855-411-50. As you know, the beginning of the week is when we put all the podcasts up from the previous guest for this weekend. So you can get all of the information and connect with Tori that way. You can go online to themoneyhour.com. Tori, thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking with you over the phone the first time. And I appreciate the information that you shared with my listeners on staging.
Thanks for having me.
And this is your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, signing off for the day. Enjoy your remainder of your Saturday, or if you're listening to the show on Sunday, enjoy the rest of your day. Get ready for the new week next week. I will be here same time, same place, next Saturday, right here on 1150 AM KKNW.
The preceding program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit absoluteloans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.